Let's get, we just had Michael Farber on. We thought for the final time of the season before he takes off for Iceland for a vacation. Hockey Hall of Famer, member of the Hall of Fame committee, and of course, award-winning writer and broadcaster, normally with us on Mondays on Melnick in the Afternoon. Michael.
Yes.
what to make of this today?
The person you should talk to, I'm guessing, is Hal Gill.
Mm-hmm.
Because unless I'm really wrong here, I suspect that David Poile called Hal Gill and said, how good a guy is P.K. Subban? Of course, Gill played for Poile and played with Subban, because I'm sure when this all started at the draft, because Bergevin was doing his, oh, I'm not shopping P.K. Subban, if someone wants to talk to me, and he was doing that with other general managers. Well, Poile asked about P.K. Subban, and in the intervening days, unless I'm really wrong here, and I don't think I'm wrong, he spoke, Poile did, to lots of people who knew P.K. Subban and say, why are they getting rid of this guy? Why do they even make him available? And I think Hal Gill might be able to give you some answers on what he told David Poile. I'm guessing that this is one of the people that Poile called.
And of course, Hal Gill was just with us because he was here for the hockey tournament, the charity hockey tournament, and he talked about working in player development and was openly looking for another job after working with the Panthers. And he kind of mentored PK. PK,
right.
And Michael, you'll pick up on this. PK is one of those personalities that old school so-called quote-unquote professionals kind of roll their eyes at because he's loud, he's at times obnoxious, he takes over a room. But man, when the game starts, you're able to forget about that. It's not the 3 hours on the ice, it's all the time away from the ice that grates on some people. And Hal Gill was able to kind of mentor him a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. There were real problems here early on, Eric Cole specifically, and Hal Gill had to pull PK aside, and Markov did it once or twice as well, and just say, okay, PK, this is how you do it, or this is how you should do it. My suspicion was that once the no trade kicked in on July 1st, the Canadians thought they might lose control totally. I don't know if the voting for the King Clancy internally for community service, that players didn't vote for PK, was a sign that it wasn't the only GM, wasn't only the GM coach, and I agree with you, they were never entirely enamored of PK. This might have been an indication that his teammates weren't entirely enamored as well. But you'd have to ask another 18, 19 guys in that room if that's truly the case.
And again, Mark Bergevin will meet members of the media at 6:15 in Brossard, and of course we will carry that live for you. Let's talk about Shea Weber for a couple of seconds. I mean, the last image that a lot of us have in the playoffs is Shea Weber playing maybe the worst game many of us had ever seen him play. Now, why did he play that badly? It happens to the best players. He logged so many minutes, but he looked terrible, specifically in Game 7. Who are the Canadians getting?
They're getting a solid defender with a big shot, a massive shot from the point. PK's wasn't chopped liver either. They don't have a guy who's as mobile or as doesn't move the puck quite as well. They're getting an old-time guy. He's a little bit shy. He's not real outspoken. He was always well-liked by teammates in Nashville, from what I gathered being around that team a little bit in the past. They're also getting a guy who's in his 30s, and P.K. Subban wasn't. So you're getting a player who's starting the back nine of his career and might already be on the 12th, 13th hole, for a player who was still, I don't know if blossoming is the right word, but still hadn't tapped into everything he had. I think part of the problem here with P.K. is They didn't have the right people dealing with him. Randy Laudisert wasn't a good fit. J.J. Daniel wasn't a good fit. These guys are coaching the defense. He will have, beyond LaViolette in Nashville, he will have Kevin McCarthy is kind of the bad cop. And he also will have a defenseman who offensively was superb. In fact, is in the Hockey Hall of Fame. That's Phil Housley. And I think Housley might be a really good influence, at least on the ice, on PK in his offensive game.
And in Peter LaViolette, and this is not a gratuitous shot, but I believe this is a fact, Peter LaViolette, who's won a Stanley Cup, he is the anti-Michel Therrien when it comes to coaching style in terms of how his teams play on the ice, correct?
Yeah. And again, the Canadians played a little bit that way in the start of the season, so that might be slightly unfair to Therrien because once the goalie Price went down, things in terms of the way Montreal played changed a little bit. But yeah, it's a far more aggressive style. LaViolette can get on players' nerves as well.
Oh, he's a screamer.
Yeah, so you know we're not talking Barry Trotz here. But he can rub nerve endings the wrong way. But I suspect the coaching staff is a little bit of a better fit for Subban, and I think he will continue to blossom there. And that's a really good defense they have, including Roman Josi. So, I suspect the player will be Subban's partner.
And before we let you go, Michael Farber with us on Melnick in the afternoon, Pierre Maguire after 5, and again, Mark Bergevin speaking live at 6:15 in Brossard. If you can put, just a several minutes after being informed of this deal, as we all were, Michael, the fact that what P.K. Subban meant to this franchise and to this city, and the fact that he's leaving a city that has his name in a hospital forever.
Well, let's go back to the great links in the chain here. And it starts with Richard, Rocket Richard, and then goes to Beliveau and goes to Lafleur, and then to Patrick Waugh. The closest to them, not in accomplishments, not in Stanley Cups, but stylistically and in the fervor that he was able to stir up in the city, the passion and the whole belovedness of the player was Subban. He was a flying Frenchman. He was from a different province. He spoke a different language. He was of a different color. But he was the link in that chain. And now he's gone. And I think people will miss him. I thought there was a good chance he'd be gone at the draft because the only way you could make this palatable for many fans in the city was to get Pierre-Luc Dubois in some kind of deal. And if the Canadians could have moved up and Subban might have been part of that and swapping draft choices, that's what I thought was going to go down. Because Bergevin had been talking to people and saying, what do I do with Subban? Because after the 1st of July, I've got no leverage here. You know, he'll never be traded. And we can't have him overrunning our brand. So that was what was going on then. And I thought Dubois was important because he would be the Francophone player that might keep the pitchforks out of people's hands. Shea Weber, an Olympian, a first-ranked defenseman. People will like him. They will like his game. I don't know how many years they will like his game, but they'll like his game. But they will miss PK because he was more than a player. He was one of us, even if he wasn't one of us.
Michael, thanks as always. Greatly appreciated. Have yourself a terrific vacation in Iceland.
Okay, thanks.
Michael Farber on Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690.